Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, making us to understand who we are, Lord. Lord, we give you all the glory that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have put your Holy Spirit in us for a purpose. And Lord, we're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord. Thank you as you open the eyes of our understanding and we be as you want us to be. Lord, we give all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Please, are we in John chapter 10? Please, let's read it from... Anyway, please write from verse 24 to 39. But let's zero down to verse 29. Please, let's go. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blaspheming, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. Amen. Where we're going this morning is in verse 34. From verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father had sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. So we see that Jesus said, we, the sons of God, we are what? Gods. Sons of God share the same glory. Please, let's open to Psalm 82. We will see the scripture our Lord was quoting. You are gods. Ye are gods. I tell you, please tell somebody, you are God, says our Lord Jesus. And you have to believe it. Amen. Psalm 82. Please, let's zero down to verse 6. And let's read it. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Please, let's go again. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Excuse me. And we give God all the glory. We are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. And we see it here that he says, you are gods. We are made in the image of God. We are born again. We are remade anew. Everything is new. But we have to understand one thing. God had spoken his vision concerning you and I. He said, you are gods. We are gods. I am a god. You are a god. We are all gods. So he has spoken his vision concerning you and I. Please let's open to Romans chapter 4 verse 17 so that we understand that we serve a God who called the things that be not as though they are. You see, he is the beginning and the end. We serve a God who knows the end from beginning. Even before the beginning of Adam and Eve, he knew all our end. Sons of men, he has spoken concerning you and I that you are gods, telling us his plans for us. God is at work in us, isn't it? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we give God all the glory. He has spoken concerning you and I. Please let's read Romans chapter 4 verse 17 so that we understand more. Please let's go. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See a great key. He calleth the things that be not as though they are. And look at father of faith, Abraham. Even before he made Adam and Eve, he had already spoken concerning him that you are father of many nations. And if you look at the scriptures, you will see how God took him all the way to being what? Father of many nations. We are all the spiritual children of who? Father of faith, Abraham. So you see how God is still working concerning Abraham. And yet he spoke before he made Adam and Eve that father of faith Abraham is a father of many nations. He spoke before he made you and I, before he made Adam and Eve, that let us make man in our own what? Image. He named man, man. Let me tell you this. Another name for God is man. God gave part of his name to you and I. We didn't name ourselves man. Man is part of the name of God. If you look at the scriptures, our Lord Jesus is called the Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man. So God was already in naming us man, you are gods. And we give God all the glory. You see the pattern of how he worked. And he's still working, performing his word concerning father of faith Abraham. And he's the same thing too. God knows the end even before the beginning. And he works towards it. So you can see right from the beginning, his thoughts towards you and I, they are good and not evil. Thoughts to prosper us, to give us peace, thoughts to not do us evil, and to bring us to his own expected end. So you are gods. You are gods. God is working, telling you and I that his goal is for us to be as he is. Please let's open to 1 John chapter 4 verse 14. This is to help us to understand how God loves us and his work in our lives. We can see even right now he's still raising up spiritual sons for father of faith Abraham. He's still raising up physical sons for father of faith Abraham. Millions are being born yearly in the nation, in the nation of Israel. And we keep increasing. Many are being born again. You can see God performing his word to his friend Abraham. And he spoke that vision even before he made Adam and Eve. And the same thing too, he called us gods even before he made us. For he said, let us make man. Naming us gods already. For man, the word M-A-N, is part of the name of God. The same way he gave Jesus part of his name. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, gave us part of his name. For just as the Father, so is what? The Son. Everything the Father does, so does the Son. Because the Son will see what the Father is doing and learn and do the same. So we see a great key. Please let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Please let's go. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Please underline that. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus came to demonstrate to you and I how he is. He lived in the what? Earthen vessel. The glory dwelt in the earthen vessel. Now we ourselves, we are in the earthen vessel. And we have to understand the goal. The same goal he set before the first parent, Adam and Eve, for them to be as he is. For them to be as he is. And that same goal is still available for you and I. For us to be as he is. For us to be as he is. Please let's open to Numbers chapter 23. For if we want to be as he is, we have to understand a basic fundamental thing about our God. And it's very important because he wants us to be as he is. So there's something that is very fundamental. Everything of God hangs on this thing. It is like a framework, you know. When you want to build a house, you have to have pillars, isn't it? Or else you have steel frame. And from that pillar, everything hangs. The pillars of a building, foundation pillar, you know, the framework work, like, you know, the steel, everything, truss, and then you hang everything pertaining to that building based on the pillar or the frame. Same thing too. The frame, the pillar of God is righteousness, sinlessness, his goodness. When we are talking of righteousness, we are talking about what makes God to never sin. It's a unique nature. It's only found in God. Only God is good. Only God is without sin. Only God is righteous. Righteousness, another name for righteousness is what? Sinlessness, a state of never sinning. And we have to understand that righteousness is the girdle of God's kingdom. Righteousness or sinlessness is the frame, the pillar of God's kingdom. Everything God does is according to righteousness. When he speaks, the word of God is what? Righteous. He does awesome deeds in what? Righteousness. God speaks truth. So we see purity or righteousness being made manifest. He will never tell lies. So we see sinlessness, isn't it? And then when he walks, the scripture says he does awesome deeds in what? In righteousness, without sin. When he made the heavens and the earth, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, that everything he made was what? Perfect, righteous, good, without sin. So we have to understand the frame, the girdle, the pillar of God's kingdom is righteousness. When he speaks what? Righteous words, not lies. Lies is sin. So we understand sinlessness. Please let's read Numbers 23 verse 19. Please let's go. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Amen. See a great key, that uniqueness. He will not sin. He will not tell lies. Because his sinlessness personified. To lie is sin. To not do your word is sin. And so you see God's righteousness right from Genesis. Be made manifest. Sinless nature. Sinlessness. Goodness. Only God is good. Only God is righteous. Only God is without sin. And so now we understand. He says you are God's. And he's at work in us. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He wants to make us God's. But we have to understand. Can we be God's without God? Please ask yourself, can we be gods without God? Who spoke the words, you are gods? It is God. Who called us man? Male and female created he them. It is God. And we know the scripture says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that he's at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he that started a good work in us, he is faithful to complete it and bring it to his own expected end. So in creating the first parent, he started a good work in the sons of men. Of course, when we sinned, the work was stopped, halted temporarily. Because of sin, but through Christ we are restored back. So we are born again. We have the same righteous image. He is at work. His spirit is dwelling in us, walking towards a goal. As he is, so are we in this world. In other words, to make us gods. Only God can make us God. So can we make self God? No. Only God can make us gods, for he spoke the words, and he is God. We have to understand, part of our problem is trying to make self gods without God. Honestly, part of our problem, or main problem as believers, is we are all trying to make ourselves God. And yet we did not speak the words. It is God who spoke the words. He is the one who said, you are God. He made us his children in Christ Jesus. He said, as he is, so are we in this world. Please let's open back to that 1 John chapter 4. And we will understand fully after the born again experience, there is a goal. As he is, so are we. So should we be in this world. He wants to make us gods. He has said, you are gods. So the problem is, we are always trying to make self gods without God. We leave out God, who has the ability to make us to be just as him. We are trying to be gods by the arm of flesh. And we know the arm of flesh is cursed, isn't it? Oh yes. Jeremiah 17 verse 5 to 6 says, cursed is he that trusts in the arm of flesh. So we are trying to use what is cursed to be gods. Can that work? What has light got to do with what? Darkness. We cannot use the flesh, which is death, decay, falling, corruption, sinful, to try to be gods. It is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He that started a good work in us is faithful. He is able to complete it and bring it to his own expected end. Please let's read 1 John chapter 4. Let's take it from verse 14 to 17, and then we will understand more. Okay, let's go. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So you can see from the born-again experience, the goal is for us to receive godliness, the fullness, everything he had purposed for us to be as he is on the face of the earth is from him. We can't make ourselves gods. We can't try in the flesh to try to do things. No. We are living in the fallen state, really. And we have allowed the enemy to deceive us that, yes, we are trying to be righteous, we are trying to be godly, we are trying to be good. No. How did we become righteous? We believed in Christ, we accepted him as Lord and Savior. So now, how do we receive the fullness of righteousness? Because the scripture says that we will be made trees of what? Righteousness. The plantings of the Lord. So that we are what? Glorified. In other words, we are filled with sinlessness. We are filled with his goodness, his righteousness. Remember, they that hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness shall be filled. So how are we going to get to that point? Being filled with all of God. Definitely not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the spirit of God works according to what? Truth. The scripture is quite clear. He does awesome deeds in righteousness. In other words, the sinlessness of God, the goodness of God, the righteousness of God is always there. We cannot ignore this sinless nature of God. So if you and I, if we want to be gods, we have to understand and choose the sinless nature of God. I tell you, without first the understanding and choosing that righteousness, he will not do anything. Because if we don't choose his righteousness, and we by default, you know, sitting on the fence means we have chosen sinful nature. What has light got to do with darkness? I am God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of men are not consumed. So God will not change his sinlessness, his righteousness to fit into us. No. He wants to bring us to his own level. You see, as he is, so are we in this world. So he spoke those words the same way he spoke the one concerning father of faith, Abraham. You will be what? Father of many nations. He pronounced the words long before he made Adam and Eve. And yet, when Abraham came on the face of the earth, as he moved closer to God, God started working his work towards the fulfillment of his word. And he's still fulfilling it concerning him. Many of us here, we are all what? Sons of Abraham. And it's the same. Note the pattern. He had already spoken, you are gods, even before he made man. Now we are on the face of the earth. He's at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We have to know the goal. He wants you and I to live as gods on the face of the earth. And we need the God factor or godliness from God for us to live and be gods on the face of the earth. The flesh can never help us to be as gods. We need him to fill us with himself, fill the baby spirit man, so that we will be able, as we are being filled daily, as we look into the word of God, he's filling us with godliness. And then, helping us to do God on the face of the earth. These are things we have to understand. So, we cannot make ourselves gods. Only God, he's at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Please, let's turn to chapter 3 of that same 1 John. Once we're there. In fact, let's take it from chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And let's take it from verse 27 to 29. Please, let's go. But the anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone which doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. Another word for the anointing is the Holy Spirit. He's inside of us and he's in our midst. And as he teaches us the word of God, which is truth, is the word of righteousness. God is righteousness. The word of God is, God is the word of his righteousness. We are knowing it and by his grace doing it. That is the key. Because when we know and are willing to do, he will fill us with himself. Of his fullness have we all received, grace upon grace. We have to understand the fullness of God is also called the glory of God. Is all of God. He knows himself. So he will fill us with all of himself as we are knowing him gradually from one level of glory to another. As we look into the word of God, we'll be going from glory to glory. In other words, fullness to fullness. Gradually we are growing into how he is. But just as a child will not get to be a full, matured human being in one day, it is the same with the things of the spirit. A day old babe will first be fed, washed, you know, cannot do anything for self. And it is the same thing too. New believers, we cannot do or live as gods. God has to put nappy on us. He has to feed us with his word. He has to keep us. And when we continue in the word of God, he's doing this. As we continue in the word of God, we are growing, going from glory to glory. He's filling us with his fullness, his purpose, to make us full gods. God, filled with all of the glory of God, filled with all that God is. He has spoken, you are what? God. And I tell you, we've read it, that he speaks, he does his word. He will never lie. He will never stop to perform his word, because he's a righteous God. Now, please let's look at verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone which doeth righteousness is born of him. See a great key. If you know, the word of God is the word of the knowledge of God. But you have to understand, righteousness is the pillar. It's the girdle of God's kingdom. If you say you know God, and you are saying you can sin or do whatever you like, you don't yet know God. That is the key. Will you have a house without the pillar and the frame? No. It is till you put pillar and frame, then can you have a house. It is when the foundation is righteousness, the pillar, everything set on the foundation, the pillar of that building, the frame, the steel frame, is righteousness. It is righteousness. So you cannot have a building without the pillar, the framework, you know, that steel frame that everything will hang onto. Everything, it dictates the shape of the building, the strength of the building, the outcome of the building, the pillar or the steel frame. And we have to understand that righteousness is the girdle. It is the belt, because the word of God and the righteousness of God, they are interwoven, inseparable. Remember the belt of truth? In that belt of truth is also the breastplate of righteousness. And so again, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone which doeth righteousness is born of him. So if you think you know God and you don't know that God hates sin and does not sin, you don't yet know God, in short. Forget it. You may quote all the scriptures, you may do all that, but once you don't understand the righteousness of God, you don't yet know God. Please let's open to the next chapter, chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. So if we know that he is righteous, we know that everyone which doeth righteousness, willing to live a life without sin, willing to obey God, is what? Born of him. Now, please let's read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Let's go. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. See a great key. If you say you know him, you have to not sin. It means you know his righteousness. You know his sinlessness. You know his goodness. But if you are still making excuses for sin and bringing up, it's just a weakness, you still don't understand. You don't know God. For the God we serve is righteousness personified. Is righteousness personified. We have to understand. And God will not change. He will not change for you and I. He will not change for you and I. Please, let's open to Psalm 36. Let's look at something there. You will see the rock, the strength of Israel is filled with his righteousness. Sinlessness is him. I'm telling you, you will understand that in everything, the sinless nature, righteousness of God is central, key. Psalm 36, let's read verse 6 and 7. Please, let's go. Thy righteousness is like the great mountain. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Amen. So you see a great key. Let's open to Jeremiah chapter 23. You will see he's described as what? Jehovah, our righteousness. That's to tell you something about God. This sinlessness, not to sin. He is without sin and does not sin. We have to understand, if we want him to make us gods, we have to submit to his very own righteousness. It is all or none. Jeremiah 23, please let's read verse 5 to 6. Please let's go. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Remember, he wants to make us gods. So we have to obtain, receive his very own righteousness. We can't make ourselves gods. If we reject his sinlessness, we can't have anything of him. We have to understand these things. Please, let's look at Psalm 45. We all know it, but let's keep going over these scriptures so that they won't slip from us. We must continue to look into the word. We mustn't say we know it. Psalm 45, verses 6 to 7. Please, let's go. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. See a great key. The scepter, the center of your rulership, the authority, the kingship is what? Righteousness. And he who is righteousness personified loves his very own righteousness. And we have to understand this great key. Without the understanding and the choosing of the righteousness of God, forget it. There is nothing we can receive from him. Please, let's open to Isaiah chapter 11. We have seen it, that the scepter, the rulership, everything of God is what? Righteousness. Let's see. The girdle, the pillar, the framework is righteousness. Sinlessness is unique to him. Only God is righteous. Only God is sinlessness. Only God is good. And so the earlier we understood this, then we will allow him to help us, filling us with himself, making us gods. You are gods. And I tell you, God will not fail. He will perform his word. Please please write Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. Let's drop down to verse 4. Please, let's go. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. See a great key. Righteousness is the girdle, the framework, the pillar. The scepter is a scepter of what? Righteousness, sinlessness. We have to understand these basic things about our God. Let's open to chapter 59 of that same Isaiah. So when you are looking into the word of God, you will see how God hates sin, how God hates unrighteousness, wickedness. He hates sin, transgression, iniquity, rebellion. They are all the same. Sin, sin is sin. Isaiah chapter 59. Please let's read verses 16 to 18. Please let's go. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Amen. See a great key from verse 16. His arm, the power of God, Jesus Christ, his righteousness, what? Sustained him. His righteousness, his sinless nature. The scripture is quite clear. He was without sin, isn't it? That's it. His righteousness sustained him. We have to understand this great key. Sinlessness. To live in obedience to God, to choose to obey God, will sustain you and I. Because he will fill us with himself that will sustain us. It is he who will sustain us. So, we see a great key. His righteousness, the arm of God, Jesus Christ, is the arm of God. His righteousness sustained him, because it is the righteousness of the Father. The Father and the Son share the same glory, same righteousness. Please let's open to Psalm 85 and we will see description again of our Lord Jesus, the one he sent, the arm of God. The arm of God is also the word of God. And we have to understand these basic things. Psalm 85, let's take it from verse 8 to 13. Please let's go. I will hear what God the Lord would speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. See a great key. The Lord shall give that which is good. That which is good is what? Righteousness. That's why Jesus is called Jehovah, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. He is the word of God. He sent his word and healed them and what? Delivered them from their destruction. So he sent his word, his righteous word. Jesus spoke righteousness to us in his days in the earthen vessel. And so you see, when he died, truth was what? Sown into the earth. And then he raised up. And then look at it, righteousness shall look down from heaven, because our God, the Ancient of Days, is what? Righteousness. And of course, he looked down as truth sprung up from the earth, as his son raised up from the dead. What happened? Truth was increased. You and I, we became sons of God. We are meant to be what? Trees of righteousness. So truth sprung up from the ground. Righteousness looked down. So you can see truth and righteousness, they are what? Inseparable. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, Jehovah, our righteousness. And righteousness is what increases us, truth and righteousness. So you can't hold the word of God in what? Unrighteousness, says Romans chapter 1. No, you have to hold truth in righteousness. Then you will increase. And our land shall what? Yield her increase. Look at verse 13. Righteousness shall go what? Before him. Who is the him there? Jesus. And that righteousness will what? Set us in his righteous steps. So you see, sinlessness, we cannot avoid it. He does awesome deeds in righteousness. If you look at Psalm 33, verses 4 to 9, he created all things in righteousness. Sinlessness, we cannot do without. Let's open to Ephesians 6, 14, and we will see there truth, the belt of truth, and righteousness together. Ephesians 6, 14. Please, let's go. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The word of God is pure, isn't it? He's the word of his righteousness. He's the word of sinlessness. God speaks truth. He will never speak lies. He will never speak lies. And so, where we are going this morning is for us to understand that the sinless God loves sinlessness. Evil is what? Abomination to him. If you look into the scriptures, you will see clearly how God loves righteousness, how he does things. He made us to understand his sinless nature. And he also made us to understand how much he hates sin, how much he hates the evil nature, how much he hates lies. It's all over the scriptures. We have to understand. God loves righteousness. God is righteousness. God hates sin. God hates evil. God hates wickedness. And if we want to be as he is, we have to love what he loves and hate what he hates. But there's one key. We cannot love what he loves and hate what he hates unless he gives us himself. You see, when we are talking about loving righteousness and hating righteousness, sin or evil. We have to know that it is how God loves his very own righteousness and how God hates evil. You and I, in the fallen state, we can't love righteousness by ourselves. We can't hate evil by ourselves as God. We have to understand his love of righteousness is unique to him. His hatred of evil is also what? Unique to him. So we need his love of righteousness and hatred of evil. And that is the key. We can't be God. God has said he hates evil. So I want to hate evil. No, I can't hate evil as he hates evil, because the criterion is hating evil as God hates evil. And only he has the spiritual substance to hate evil as he does. Only he has the spiritual substance to love righteousness, to love sinlessness as he does. And that is the key. Please write the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 6 verses 15 to 20. Please, if I'm too fast, say so. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 6 verses 15 to 20. Amos chapter 5 verses 21 to 27, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 10 to 20, Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. God is of a pure eyes to behold evil. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 to 8, and then Romans chapter 3 verses 9 to 18. Very important for us to know how God hates evil. So those scriptures will help us to understand how God hates evil, and then hatred of evil. How God, please write Proverbs chapter 16 verses 1 to 6, Proverbs chapter 15 verses 8 to 9, Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13, Proverbs chapter 6 verses 16 to 19. Let's open to Proverbs 6. See, the word abomination means God detests those things. In other words, when he says he hates this, you will know that is what? Detestable things to him. They are hateful things. Another word for abomination is detestable things, hateful things. Those are things he hates with all the fiber of his divine being. Please, let's read Proverbs 6 from 16 to 19. Please, let's go. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst brethren. So you can see, he's allowing us to know the things he hates, the evil he hates. Now, we have to understand, as we continue to go through, we will understand the hatred, God's own hatred of evil, God's own love of righteousness. Now, where we're really going now is this. In the love of God is hatred of evil. In the love of righteousness is what? Hatred of evil. The love of God is with the hatred of evil. When we are receiving the love of God, or we are receiving the fear of God, we are also receiving hatred of evil. In that love of God is what? Inherent hatred of evil. Please let's open to Romans chapter 5. It says there in verse 5 that the love of God, you see, the God kind of love, how he loves his own righteousness and how he hates the evil is shed abroad in our hearts. So in the love of God is what? Hatred of evil. If you say you love God, in other words, implying that you have received of the love of God, and you are just sinning, forget it, it's a lie. In the love of God is what? Hatred of evil. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Please let's read it. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Please let's read it again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we see the love of God is with hatred of evil. If you love God, you have the God kind of love, it means you also have the God kind of hatred of evil. Remember Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hated what? Evil or wickedness. So you can see, in the love of God is the hatred of evil. In that his righteousness is his what? Hatred of everything unrighteous, every evil, every wickedness. So, in the love of God, we have to understand is what? Hatred of evil. Let's open to Jeremiah chapter 32 and we will see. In the love of God, Jeremiah chapter 32 from verse 38 to 41. When you have the fear of God, you automatically hate sin. You don't want to do wrong things against God. You love to please God. So, in God's righteousness, you have divine built, I would say, hatred of wickedness. Jeremiah chapter 32 from 38 to 41. Please let's go. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Amen. The key there is they will not depart from me. Those who depart from God, they go to do what? Evil, isn't it? So the love of God has inbuilt, divine built, is with hatred of evil. If you say, oh, I love God, I love God, the scripture says, by their fruits shall we know them. And you love to sin, go back to the drawing board or to the Bible board and start again to understand the righteousness of God. For the righteousness of God is with what? Hatred of evil. Hatred of wickedness. Hatred of sin. Because he is sinlessness. Sinlessness can never love sin. The love of God is with the hatred of sin. The love of God, God is righteousness, isn't it? And it is he who will pour his love. We cannot love righteousness unless he gives us his righteousness to love. And now you understand why the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all other things will be what? Added unto you, including all that he is. That righteousness is the key, is the frame, the pillar, the cornerstone, because Jesus is Jehovah, our righteousness. It was after the scripture says he loves righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore the Lord thy God hath what? Anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In other words, the glory flooded without limit. And it's the same thing too. Jesus came to show us how to do it. We have to love righteousness. Choose to love righteousness, and then he will pour forth the love of God, the love of righteousness, because God is righteousness. So you see why righteousness or sinlessness is the girdle, is the pillar, is the frame. It is the center. It is the scepter of the kingdom of God. You are God's. God is working. Don't worry. Once you understand his righteousness and how he loves righteousness, how he hates evil, and you choose, I'm telling you, the good choice, you're on the right road. I tell you, you will go from glory to glory. You will go from glory to glory. Of his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. And you are complete. You are perfect. You are whole in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. You will receive all of God. You will live like God on the face of the earth. As he is, so shall you be. And so are we. So God is God who calleth the things that be not. Yes, we are not now, in quote, as though they are, because he will walk and make sure they become what he has said. He performs his word. Please, let's give him all the glory. Let's thank him for his word. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We acknowledge your goodness in the land of the living. Lord, the strength is yours. The power is yours. We know you have good thoughts towards us. We know you love us. Just as your Son is fullness of your glory, so also you want us to be fullness of your glory. You have spoken concerning us. You said you are God. And Lord, we believe. Yes, we are God. We are God. And we submit to your work in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you open the eyes of our understanding more and more to your righteousness, Lord, to how you love righteousness, sinlessness, goodness, and to how you hate evil, Lord. And Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as you prepare our hearts to make the choice to love righteousness, to love what you love, and to receive your love for what you love, and to receive your hatred for what you hate together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love which is shed abroad in our hearts, Lord. As you have spoken, we know it is done, and we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the prayers we have said here today, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Our righteous God, we appreciate you, Lord. And we know that you are teaching us your righteousness, because righteousness will exalt the people of God. We are the nation of God, even nations, as you have said. And Lord, righteousness will keep the righteous. Lord, even at this time, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice, every household in this church, and your body, Lord. Thank you for the understanding of your righteousness. We will know more and more, and we will make the good choice, Lord. Thank you for every household, Lord, every child, every grandchild, every father, every mother, every grandfather, every grandmother. Thank you, Lord of Lords, for every spouse. Lord, everything pertaining to every one of us. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for walking your walk of righteousness in our lives, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that we are trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, so that you are glorified. Thank you as you continue to teach us, and great is our peace, for we are taught of God. Thank you for establishing us in your righteousness, Lord. For we are trees of righteousness, rooting us in your faith, Lord, in yourself, Lord, filling us with your glory. Thank you, Lord, that we will walk on our high places, Lord, and we will tread down the high places of all the enemies of our souls in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you that it is always the sound of salvation and rejoicing, and it shall never depart, it shall never cease from the household, the tabernacle of the righteous. Lord, we thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we commit every child, every grandchild in this church into your hands. Lord, our eyes are on you. Turn the hearts of our children to your righteousness, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus. For the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord, and like rivers of water, you turn it to wherever you will. Thank you for every child, every grandchild in every household in this church. Thank you that their hearts are turned to you, to do right, to know you, Lord. Thank you for birthing in every child, every grandchild in this church, a strong hunger and thirst after righteousness. Thank you for filling them up in the name of Jesus, to overflowing in the name of Jesus. Thank you as you teach them, Lord. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Lord, we give you all the glory, that it is the beginning of great and mighty things in every household in this church. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the uniqueness of the children in this church from now on, Lord. Everyone will see that these children, they love to serve God. They love to please God. They love to obey God. They love to walk righteousness by you, because you are teaching them. Thank you for making them trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, so that you are glorified. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for knitting the heart of every child, every grandchild, to your glory, to your word, in the mighty name of Jesus. Cleaving unto Jehovah, our righteousness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give all the glory. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.